Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagné. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Well, a SWAT team had to be called to a hotel Kiss was staying at 20 years ago.
Yes.
Because Gene Simmons threatened to blow up the place.
Jeez.
Yeah, you really can't get... You know, it sounds so ridiculously outrageous today because of how sensitive we are to basically saying you're going to threaten to blow up anything.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago... I mean, we're looking at the year 2000, and we were around, we were hanging, we were doing stuff. Were we that in, didn't care that much about bomb thready stuff, and you could say what you wanted, that you could...
Well, he's an older guy. Maybe it's just like a phrase that he says, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sick of this place, I'm going to just blow it up.
Yeah.
You know, some people say dumb stuff. I mean, the intention is definitely not that they're going to blow it up.
Yeah, hyperbole is, something that we should remember in life. And, of course, he didn't mean it. Apparently, he just gets upset when he calls room service and they take too long to answer. And
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, surely I have threatened to blow up so many hotels when they wouldn't answer my room service. Here's guitarist Tommy Thayer explaining what happened.
We're at the Hilton in Buffalo. We're back at the hotel after the show, and, you know, Gene Simmons is a real stickler. If he's in a hotel and he calls down to the front desk or to room service, and if it takes more than two or three rings for them to pick up, he really goes ballistic. So I'm sitting in my room, the front desk calls, and she says, "We got a real problem. We just called the SWAT team, the police, to come in because one of your group members just threatened to blow the hotel up." And I was thinking, I think I know who that might be, actually.
Of course, you do.
It kind of got us into trouble because the police showed up and they thought it was a real bomb threat.
Oh, man. He's like, Gene. Because before Tommy was the guitarist of Kiss, he worked like as a road guy for them. Like he was a tech guy, roadie crew. And I think he might even help handle some of the other stuff as well for the band behind the scenes. So he's got to have just stories of the ridiculousness of Gene Simmons.
Yeah, I bet you're right, Steve.
Yeah.
That just is... You know, that's amazing. Now, I understand that he was in Buffalo, and sometimes people, when they get into Buffalo, go, can we just raise this city and start from scratch? I get that, but... Hey, lady. That's so funny. Three calls, Buffalo Hilton, that's it. I'm going to blow this place up.
It's great, though, because it's so rock star. They had the SWAT team called on him.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. When you take a look at the reputation, this definitely helps the reputation of, what you'd expect Kiss to be about.
Yeah.
You know, just so hardcore that they had to call the cops.
Man, there are times where I call to get to go or take out orders, and if they don't answer right away, I'm like, oh, don't you want my business? And I realize, oh, wait, they're probably on the other line. There's maybe another person around dinner time calling them for dinner.
Yeah. I know, but you just feel like a hotel should be, you know, where I don't know, because maybe we watch a lot of movies. We just expect them to be right there at our service.
But they might be at the service of someone else.
Yeah, we don't expect that. You know, we expect that they've just got people everywhere to help us out.
What has taken them so long?
I will tell you this, though. In life, my idea of a perfect society is that everybody who's out of work is put in service positions so that we never have to wait for anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always think of. I think, you know what? Wouldn't it be great? I don't know how it would work economically. I'm just saying that wouldn't it be great that we never had to wait in line for anything because everybody who was out of work was filling the positions that could open up another register, could have somebody man another phone line. They would be getting paid. We wouldn't have to wait.
How random.
I thought about that. I thought, like, there's so many people out of work right now, and there's four or five of these registers that aren't open. Why? Or you see the tables at a restaurant, and you go, sometimes they just can't open all the tables because they don't have enough servers.
Right, right.
And I'm like, and we have people out of work. I go, I don't know how economically it would work. I have no idea.
What do you do? Just walk around and say, you added a job? Well, get over here. Table 7 needs some service.
Yeah, I just remember that. I'm old enough to remember that you stood around a bit at certain jobs because they had more people on than they needed for a particular time. But they knew, they go, our busy time's coming up in an hour, so we're going to have people here to be able to handle the busy time. But they still had to pay you a full day.
Right.
So you straighten stuff up in the aisles. I'm thinking like when I worked in a supermarket.
Yeah, good luck convincing a business these days to do
I know.
Like
wouldn't
that.
It be great if it would be like great for everybody, though? I don't, like I said, I don't know how it works economically, but wouldn't that be awesome? Like, there would be no unemployment, and you would never have to wait. Like, you'd call room service, and there they would be, because there's always somebody to be able to answer.
There's, like, a bunch of people handling the phones, like one of those charity telephones.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know how it would work. I don't have the brains to figure that out, but don't you think that would be better? We wouldn't wait, and nobody would be out of work.
Oh, we just maybe practice a little more patience in life, but yeah, I like your idea. I just don't know if financially that's ever going to happen.
I know. I wish there was a way it could. I don't know how it could. You know, obviously, I don't want to take away capitalism, so I don't know how it would work out.
Someone says, KISS does have the pyro to blow up a hotel. It could have been a credible threat.
Oh, wow.
Just think about that. Oh, yeah. I'm going to call my roadies.
Yeah.
And they're going to get out of that big truck.
Yeah.
Our pyrotechnics, and we're going to blow this place down.
If you would like to blow up something, go to kissonline.com. Yeah. And it's just, yeah, it is, but it's so Gene.
Say, someone says, your idea is commendable, BJ. Yet, a whole bunch of people who are out of work would have jobs. The problem, yes, a whole lot of people out of work have jobs. $20 for a side order of French fries. That would be what would happen.
I know. That's why I said, I don't know how to.
Yeah. Bottomless fries for $20.
I know. I don't know how to make it work economically. That's the thing. If I did, believe me, I wouldn't have this job. I probably would be president if I could figure all that out. But it'd be cool because, well, I wouldn't have to wait. That really is more of a selfish reason more than anything else.
So it says, I agree, for different reasons. Mandatory service positions so everyone knows what it's like to work in service. Maybe then everyone will be a bit more understanding. I agree. I think there are some people that you see how they're acting towards someone who's working the front desk at a restaurant or taking orders, and you see how they're being treated. I'm like, that person has never worked in the service industry. Otherwise, they would not be that disrespectful.
That's why I think it is a great idea for every young person to work at a fast food restaurant, to work in retail, to work at a restaurant for that reason. Mm-hmm. Because I worked in retail, and it is unbelievable how miserable those folks get treated, and they're not making a lot of money as you're going in complaining about, I don't know, maybe your Keurig wasn't working right or whatever, you know, as opposed to like, well, you don't have to fight with the person behind the, you know, the customer service desk.
They're just trying to do their job.
Yeah.
Not even anyone is. You know, and you're mad at them because you're not being seated quick enough.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. And I think it's because those folks have never worked a day in their life at a position like that. And I think it should be mandatory. And it should be right now so I don't have to wait. So if you've never worked in retail and you're a snotty person,
get right to it.
You've got to get in there so I don't have to wait in line. Steve, my idea's happening.
It's starting to happen. We're flushing it out.
I love this. All right, I don't know if I got bad news for you or not, Steve. I know you're very excited about the Mighty Ducks reboot, re-something.
On Disney Plus, man.
Yeah.
I mean, now we got earlier you talked about the Rick Moranis show, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, being turned into a TV show.
Very happy about that.
Called Trunk. So I'm like, all right, cool. I have a show that I definitely am excited about coming on Disney Plus. Of course, we also have this one. So between that, the Ducks one, and the Jeff Goldblum show where he does weird stuff and acts weird.
Disney
Plus is where it's at.
And you haven't even watched The Mandalorian, which basically...
I watched the first episode.
I know, but the show was so good.
It was. I saw Baby Yoda. I'm good.
Oh, no. You got to see what Baby Yoda can do.
Yeah.
Baby Yoda kicks ass. And The Mandalorian doesn't do too bad himself.
Nice. I'll take your word for it.
Oh, that's all it's going to take, Ray. I will take your word for it. I am going to have just as good of a time.
I thought it was a fun show. I was like, I don't know if I really want to invest in this one.
I got another show for you, which we'll talk about later. Okay. Just remind me. Write back down, Vicky, because I don't want to get lost in this. Because so they're rebooting Mighty Ducks, and Gilmore Girls actress Lauren Graham, who I bet if I saw a picture I'd know her, but I don't really know her.
Lauren Graham.
Yeah, Lauren
Graham.
She
was the star of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, I remember her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, so Lauren Graham is going to star as the coach of a ragtag hockey team in the Disney Plus series reboot of The Mighty Ducks. So Emilio's not going to be in this, or is he?
He's going to be in the show. I don't know in what capacity. I have a feeling they're almost doing the whole thing where, you know, you're a hero until long enough you become the villain. That whole thing, like with Batman.
Oh, okay.
apparently the Mighty Ducks have now grown into like this powerhouse hockey team in the Minnesota area. That's going to be the premise of the story.
Oh, okay.
So maybe Gordon is part of that and he lost his way. And now it's like this super competitive.
Oh.
It's everything that they weren't. And so what she is going to be is the coach of a team that is now responding to the way that the Mighty Ducks are. So, like, her, I guess her kid tries to be on the Ducks. He's not good enough because they're too competitive. So she decides to coach a team. That's from what I read.
Oh, wow. Okay. And no, it says in it says right here, their own misfit team is going to be built to challenge the cutthroat culture of youth sports.
I think it's awesome.
So you like the idea?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how you'd like it because, again, the Ducks are going to be the bad guys. And
yeah.
I wasn't sure if you'd appreciate that.
I think it's kind of fun.
Oh, interesting.
It falls in line with, like, the Cobra Kai show in a way.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The bad guy became the good guy. And this one, the good guys become the bad guys.
Yeah. All right. You know what? I mean, if you're still on board with it, you're the guy that cared. I mean, I really don't know.
No, BJ, it's a stupid television show. I mean,
yeah, I didn't want to say that in front of you. I wanted to wait until you left the room. Yeah, I can't disagree with you on that one. I mean,
I can't imagine it's going to be.
Yeah, well,
it's going to be fun.
You know what? I'll take your word for it.
Okay, I'll let you know how it goes. Yeah. But I'm pretty pumped about it. Any show that has hockey in it, I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
Well, for the Love Guru.
The show that my buddy Josh turned me on to, and it took me a long time to watch this, and I don't know why I did, because Jason Bateman, it seems like everything that guy does is great. New show on HBO based on a Stephen King thing. It's called The Outsider. Have you watched this yet, Danny?
No, it's on my list, though. Actually, I saw the previews for it, and I was like, that's actually a show that I kind of want to watch.
Now, I didn't even know about this.
Yeah, I didn't see the previews, and I'm kind of glad I didn't, because Joey Ken, I think, gave something away that I don't really think I should know yet, but if they put in the previews, then I can't blame anybody. But the premise is this, is that there's a horrific murder that happens in this small town, and one of, if you would think, the nicest guys, but also somebody that you could suspect because of what we've had in the recent news, because the guy's a coach, they're suspecting that the coach actually did this horrific thing to a child. Not only do they suspect it, but they have got evidence that there's no way, I mean, video evidence, there's no way he didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the weird thing. They have also found video evidence of him being 70 miles away at a conference where he's on tape asking a question pretty much the same time this kid is killed.
So is he like a doppelganger?
This is what we don't know. We don't know what
someone
the hell.
Says it's creepy as F.
Yeah, I've only watched the first episode, and my buddy tells me it gets even creepier and crazier.
Oh.
But, I mean, everything you see in the first show is like, oh, he's guilty of sin. There's no way this isn't him. Huh. And then all of a sudden they drop the hammer that, wait, we've got evidence that shows that he wasn't even in town. Video evidence. And it's like, well, what?
Yeah, that's all in the trailer, too. So if you want to check out the trailer, you can definitely see that it's real creepy.
It's a Stephen King thing.
Yeah.
Jason Bateman looks crazy in this.
Dude, Jason Bateman, I know, and that's the thing. And he also doesn't look crazy in this. That's why you're like, whoa, what is going on? And it's on HBO, and it is. I know, I'm not usually a Stephen King guy, but it takes place in modern day times, Steve. Oh, so no one's wearing fancy outfits.
Yeah, the thriller or scary part of it might be a deterrent for my wife, though.
Yeah, it's not. I mean,
might just be something that me and the little baby watch.
Yeah, yeah. Tatum should be fine with it. Yeah, she's okay with it. Lulu might have a problem. Your dog, I wouldn't let her maybe watch it. So that
says it's amazing, very creepy and classic suspenseful. Oh, that does sound good.
Yeah, and this guy, they got good people in it, good acting, and you know, it's interesting. It just all the tropes that are brought out when people just have judgments on somebody, guilty until proven innocent, kind of thing. And yet at the same time, you're like, well, geez, how could you not think he's guilty? They've got him on video doing a lot of things. And yet, they don't. I mean, it's just it's weird. It's good.
There's a super creepy Jason Bateman's only in the beginning, but the whole show revolves around him. So you're not even really seeing him after this.
Well, I just assume he's in the whole series. He's only in the first episode. How crazy is that?
Or just the beginning, so maybe it's just like the first couple episodes.
Okay, that's really wild. That'll be awesome to see how that works out.
Speaking of, there's a Netflix documentary that just came out too, and it's a really short watch, and it has the same kind of idea behind it.
Is it that Taylor Swift documentary?
Yes.
Okay,
No.
That one scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, I'm not in the right mindset yet to watch something so suspenseful.
Need to watch that together.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Tay-Tay, I never thought she'd go that way.
It's on our queue, but I'm not yet ready.
Fair. It's called Long Shot, and it's about this guy who goes, he is framed, or not necessarily framed for murder, but he gets arrested for murder, but he was at a Dodgers game and there he's on video with Curb Your Enthusiasm, and that's what gets him off. And it's like a 40-minute watch, really
quick. I remember that story.
It's cool. That's The Outsider reminds me just of this documentary, and it's such an interesting watch.
It's a sad thing for me, and I don't know if life imitates art or art imitates life, but one of the concepts in The Outsider, and I'm not going to spoil anything because of the fact it's just about the motivation of the DA or who wants to go and become more politically, and you just know we've seen this in our past where there are motivating factors to just convict somebody, even if the evidence is sketchy. And that's what really irritates me as a society is how often do we really have justice when people are politically motivated to get ahead in life and they don't care if they're sacrificing somebody? They even tell themselves in their head, no way, he's guilty, he's guilty, she's guilty. And you're going, but we've got evidence that says maybe not. We need to do the right thing. And they're at, and you know, sometimes the right thing people are made to feel horrible or even threatened by, if you will, the high political people going, no, you're not going to do the right thing. You need to make it look like this person's guilty.
The crazy part with a lot of that stuff, too, is like when you find out someone isn't guilty of something, and then it's like, no, but no one ever talks about that part.
No, it never gets released. There's no big news hit flash.
Somebody's life has been completely ruined, and whatever it may be, however awful or minimal even the allegations might be, but like people will forever have that opinion of that person, even if they were fully cleared, and it comes out that they were absolutely not in the wrong. And it's unfortunate.
Like, Jason Bateman actually says something similar to that in the first episode.
Oh.
You see that? He's like,
he knows what's up.
He's like, I'm going to say what Steve would have said. And then he says it.
Oh, somebody says a long shot is awesome. Brought tears to my eyes.
Wow.
Another person says, guy, Stephen King said that The Outsider is the best portrait of one of his books.
Wow,
that's amazing.
High praise.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff that's been done about his stuff.
Oh, and I like this one. Happy 2-month birthday, Tatum.
Oh,
it is. Happy 2-month birthday, right. Tatum.
Oh, it is, really?
Yeah, the 13th, remember?
Yep. Oh, no, I don't.
Friday the 13th, she was born.
Yeah, I totally didn't. I forgot it was Friday.
That's a lucky baby.
Yeah.
Jeez, BJ.
Sorry, buddy. I forgot.
Did you get her anything?
Yeah, I did. I got. You know what? I got her. I'm leaving her alone. You know what? I'm letting the kid have a nice life.
Yeah, that's a pretty big gift.
You know what? I appreciate that. Yeah. That's the gift that keeps on giving.
There you go, pal. Glad I could help out. Well, here's a question I didn't think I'd ever ask. Did Jim Carrey hit on a reporter while doing an interview? I never thought that would come up. Well, we got the audio. You can hear for yourself at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Well, the internet's there a little ticked off at Jim Carrey. And it's because of how he answered a question during an interview with a female reporter promoting that incredible movie, Sonic the Hedgehog.
I keep forgetting that movie has not come out yet. Or has it?
I forgot.
No, it comes out Friday.
Friday.
He's in it, right?
Yeah. He's Dr. Robotnik.
Any reviews on this yet, Rev? What's Rotten Tomatoes saying about Sonic?
No idea.
70%.
Okay. Wow.
Right now.
70?
How many people have reviewed it?
60.
Well, that's actually impressive.
Yeah.
And they made the change to make Sonic look less weird.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
This is better than I expected for this movie. I really thought it was going to be a pile, but 70% is respectable. Man, all right. So she's an attractive female interviewer, there's no doubt about it, and her name is Charlotte Long, and she asked Jim if there was anything left on his bucket list, and he said, quote, just you. Now, I'll let you hear the audio for yourself. Is this creepy? Do you think Jim should be, you know, chided by everybody for this?
After all you've done in your career and in your life, is there anything still left on your bucket list?
Just you.
Oh, wow.
That's it. It's all done now.
I don't know what to say to that.
Just own it.
Okay, I'm owning it now. And what's been your best bucket list moment in your life?
I don't know. You know, he's gone like on this whole spiritual, new agey, deep end world.
Yeah, what did he read? The Power of Now, and he's just completely become that guy.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I know, you're absolutely right. I know that Kyle Cease, actually, our buddy, has had some interaction with him in that space of the new age, new thought stuff. I don't want to put Jim Carrey down, but he's come off a little arrogant and not exactly, I think, the best face in some of the things he said on this quest he's been on for, if you will, self-awareness.
No, I don't know what's inside of that man's mind. So I can't, I mean, we're all now thinking for him. But is there a chance that what he meant was this moment right now in this interview? That's what is on the bucket list? You know what I mean?
Did you get any creepy factor from that? That's because I agree with what you're saying.
I got an awkward factor just because of how, like, she was just, you could tell she was just kind of like, oh, I don't know how to handle this. Like, you know, I don't think she was mad at him, but like, it was just kind of like an awkward moment. But And again, I don't know what the hell is going on in Jim Carrey's mind.
Yeah, what does that mean, just you? And you know, cause,
does it mean just being interviewed by you? Or does it mean that, like, well, hey, shoot your shot, let's have some fun?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you know, a guy, when he's like, hey, you're on my bucket list, a lot of us would infer that means a sexual encounter.
But bucket lists aren't sexual.
Yeah, most of the time. And then also, right after that, he says, and it's now done. So, I mean, unless they did something beforehand...
So
well, wouldn't that be crazy if they did?
That would be amazing.
And, yeah.
And that's why she's like, oh, I didn't know we were going to talk about
this. Yeah, right? That's why it could be awkward for her.
That's a rhymes with bucket list.
Exactly. Because, I'm sorry. I mean, look, I've been doing a lot of airy-fairy new thought stuff. You know that. And I also know that I got to talk to regular people. You know what I mean? People that just, you know, that aren't living in woo-woo land. What the hell is that? What is that supposed to mean? Like, just you. What is that even, like, your bucket list was to be interviewed about Sonic the Hedgehog. Now your life is complete. That's the problem, is that I would love an explanation of what he meant. I'm not meaning that he meant something that was lewd and lascivious. I don't want to put him in that category, but it's definitely confusing. And in this day and age where, you know, I mean, look, you know, women are really sensitive to not be objectified, especially when they're just doing a job. And sure, she's a pretty woman and she's dressed nicely. That doesn't mean, though, you get to go, oh, hey, you know what I'd like to.
But someone said, I just feel like it was a sarcastic response. Come on.
What is sarcastic in what way? What does
like,
that mean?
This moment. That's the, you know, like, oh, this is the moment. This has been on my bucket list.
See,
like,
saying
being interviewed by you.
Then I would say this interview instead of just you. The just you is the problem. Those are a bad choice of words.
Well, I mean, it also happened rather quickly. I mean, that's why, I mean, we don't know what his intent was. Because, like, if he just said it and then was like, oh, crap, I didn't mean it that way. But had no idea that people were taking it that way until now everyone wants him to, what, like, be canceled or something? I don't know what else.
No, I don't want to cancel him. I just, because, here's why. I'm taking this personally, and I'll tell you why. Because
you've always wanted to do Jim.
Okay, that's one of the reasons, but I wasn't going to talk about that. You and I, this is an off-air conversation. Come on.
My bad.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm sensitive because I do hang out with a lot of woo-woo people.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of good stuff that comes of it. And I tell, I mean, my wife and a lot of her friends, I say, look, you've got to stop looking like crazy people because you really do have a great message. But you don't know how you're coming off. You're coming off like you're unstable. And therefore, there's no credibility to the great message that you have. So when Jim does stuff like this, and I know he hangs out with Kyle Cease, and I love the world that Kyle Cease is in. I think Kyle does a lot of great work. And also Eckhart Tolle, for that matter, the guy that wrote The Power of Now. But when Jim acts like this with no explanation, I think it makes it look bad. And that's why I'm angry. I'm not angry about him as a person and what he meant. He's making those people look a lot worse than they really are, especially when you talk about mental health and having people be self-aware. I don't like somebody like Jim making us look stupid. That's all.
Can we hear it again? Because now that we have had this conversation, I kind of want to hear what he said again.
After all you've done in your career and in your life, is there anything still left on your bucket list?
Just you.
Oh. Wow.
What is that?
It's all done now.
Yeah, he's not. I'm with you. It's all done now means that in his mind, I don't want to think for him because he's a little out there. But in his mind, it sounds like he's just saying this interview.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's done now.
Yeah.
Unless he like had an accident. Like, You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bad choice of words, but I could see your interpretation, Steve. I'm not saying that's wrong. It's just really vague and weird, and we're not the only
one. It sounds like.
Well, even if it's a dumb joke, it's a weird dumb joke. It's like we're not all getting what it could actually mean.
Have you seen his like Twitter page lately? It's him having paintings of squirrels eating mangoes and then mangoes. Like,
yeah, he's out there.
Yeah,
he's out there.
Just is a little out there at this point.
You remember that? Remember that interview he did on the red carpet where he was really just mean to somebody?
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like this is. I've seen Jim Carrey just show up in a really bizarre, not helpful way, and yet I know where he's getting his messages from because I understand the language because I'm in this world. I feel like he's trying to enlighten people, but in a very mean way, in a weird, goofy way, which.
Always said, in the interviews I've heard, he kind of comes off almost pompous in his in his spirituality, if that makes
sense.
Yes,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, there's an aura of, I feel like I'm above everybody. And that could just be how I've interpreted it, but that's the vibe I get from the guy. In this, it just sounds like even one person I thought, it sounds like he's just being sarcastic, making fun of what is probably the 1,000th interview that he's done. And that's kind of the thing I'm getting. I don't know, maybe he was flirting with her. Who knows? But it didn't... I mean, I'll have to watch, like, the rest of this interview to be like, okay, how's the tone after that? Does he keep, like, trying to, like, put... But no one else is bringing up any of the other parts being flirty.
Yeah, I don't know if it was flirty. I can't really go there.
I think he just gave a stupid answer to a stupid question.
And I think it was like...
I appreciate stupid questions.
Yeah. But, I mean, when you say just you, there's so many ways to interpret that. She got flustered. She didn't know what to make of it. If he had just said, you know, oh, no, just this interview. This is the pinnacle of my career. I think it would have been more an obvious joke, but I'm not saying you guys aren't wrong.
One person thinks that the vibe was he was just trying to end the interview. And then she goes back to the bucket list.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm getting my answer, damn it.
And I'm tired of people that get mad at stupid questions when you have to understand, it's the Jimmy Fallon way of doing interviews now. Nobody gives a crap about your career or life. You know, you got to go on and play a game. You got to go on and sing a song. It's like the normal interview is not that big of a deal. Nobody cares anymore. And especially in our industry, we know, unless you're really amazing, we're not going to have you on to talk about your stupid movie. We don't care.
Plus, she just needs to preface it by saying, can I ask you a stupid question? Then when they say yes.
See, you do a great job like that. Yeah. They know what's coming.
The anticipation.
Yeah.
And then when it happens, they have no choice but to answer because they said yes.
Yeah. I actually, as an interviewer, I felt bad for her because I don't know how I would have taken it if I were her. I don't know what to think, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never been a pretty woman, so I don't know what that world's like. No, I don't, you know, and that's the other thing. I don't know what it's like to be a pretty woman just trying to do your job, and at any moment, somebody could just comment on your looks, and you don't know where to go with that.
But in this situation, what if this is what he was doing? On the truest sense, he was just being sarcastic. He was done with the interview. He was just like, oh, yeah, this interview is the one thing on my bucket list. But because she's an attractive woman, everyone's jumping to the conclusion that he's flirting with her, when quite possibly all he would have said the same answer if it was one of us asking the question, Danny, myself, or you, BJ. I'm saying Vicky because Vicky's a pretty woman. She could ask that question. Aww. And we'd be going down that line again.
Wow, you paid a nice compliment to Vicky.
Well, yeah, because she's decent. I don't like you two.
She's decent. Well, you went from pretty to decent.
No,
okay.
A person.
She's all right. I mean, you know,
I get one compliment a year from each of you guys, and I savor each
of
them.
Right. All right.
Vicky's passable.
I can take that off my calendar of things to do. But you know what I mean?
Like, Vicky's not horrific.
But if it was a dude ask the question, or quote unquote an unattractive woman, you know what I mean? Would we be all up in arms about that answer?
The problem is the guy. He's come off as an idiot before, and that's why it's like, why do you got to be so vague? We're all trying to figure out what he meant, but we can't 100% all of us say that's what he meant. That's the problem with this. Because
I just don't know why people are getting mad at him about it.
Well, you know, the internet's the internet.
That's a good point.
And I'm mad at him because it's just another time where Jim Carrey is supposedly in my camp. He's with my people. And he's making us look bad. I mean, I'm mad about that. If I were to have a conversation with Kyle Cease, that's a conversation I have with Kyle. And go, Kyle, you have to admit he's making us look bad. He needs to stop looking like an idiot and look like a person that actually is aware and cares and loves people.
Well, then tell Kyle to text him and say,
I think Kyle could. Kyle, he sat next to the guy and had a whole, you know, spiritual thingamajig with the guy. He knows Jim Carrey more than I do. And next time I talk to Kyle, I'm going to have this conversation with Kyle.
A whole spiritual thingamajig, is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's the spiritual thingamajig.
Okay.
Yeah, Kyle's really big on the spiritual thingamajig. Yeah. Well, anyway, Jim Carrey, everybody.
Ruffling some feathers.
And by the way, I love no, your
so
scenario.
I mean, so up, Steve, Vicky is gorgeous. I didn't say a bad thing about Vicky.
Vicky's decent. Right.
As a person, she's decent. I'm not talking about looks.
Now we're taking Steve's comments out of context.
Yeah,
now, have you
Steve.
Met me? I am decent.
Are you sarcastic, Steve? Are you being sarcastic?
I just want the bucket list question to be done with already. That's all I'm trying to say.
Being able to say that Vicky was decent was on your bucket list, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Vicky's not half bad, you know, for, you know.
Yeah, I get my one compliment, and that's my half
the
compliment.
The decent part had nothing to do with looks.
She's decent. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Y'all are crazy.
I don't know. It depends on what time of day
crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
What do you think of her?
I don't know. Is the light on? Oh, yeah, okay, she's all right. I'm Steve Miggs.
That was a great impression. Yeah, yeah, that was really good. Yeah,
I'm just going to stay quiet. You could just be the Migs of the BJ and Migs. So
I think it's a hey, look,
I'm going to call it a day.
Hey, by the way, you know what? Some companies might want us to start doing that for, you know, downsizing purposes.
I don't want to get dislocated, man.
Yeah.
It's rude.
Listen, we're going to dislocate Steve. Could you pretend he's still here?
So one person says, so what's on y'all's bucket list?
Just you. Just you, Texter. And it's done. Now I have to go get a towel.
I'd say like some soft ice cream.
Of course it is.
That's what's on my current bucket list.
Yeah.
Just a big old bowl of it.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
That's really, really good.
Or in a cone.
I'm lately in a chocolate chip cookie, thing, so I would say chocolate chip cookie, preferably from Starbucks, because I don't know what they put in those damn things, but it makes me want to have all of them.
I believe it's meth. They put a little thing.
Dude.
A little sprinkle of the meth.
They know what they're doing over there, because not all chocolate chip cookies are created equal when you go to different coffee shops. Mm-hmm. But Starbucks, man, I'm sure they probably put too much in of what they shouldn't, and maybe that's why other people go, it's not a real chocolate chip cookie. I don't care. It's so damn good.
Milo Mazda, man, they got some good cookies.
Who's?
The place where I go and get I got my car.
Oh, I thought you said Mazda, and I go, yeah. I'm missing something.
No, Puyallup, Milo Mazda.
They actually have good cookies.
They got that Spunkmeyer, man, the little oven thing.
Oh, yeah. No, Otis Spunkmeyers are great.
No, they're not stupid. It's the very reason why people bake cookies in a real estate showing, because they know cookies just bring, like, make us want to do nice things.
When I drive my car to get the oil change, it's like, oh, the cookies are out.
Yeah. Dude, I'm sure that's how a lot of these places sell houses and cars.
Yeah.
The cookies make us happy.
Shout out to Tom and the crew over there, yeah. Man. Mike. Good people.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe she had cookies in the interview, and Jim Carrey was just like, this is the best interview I ever had. It's my bucket list is cookies.
I love it.
All right, here's another guy that, people are talking about because he flipped out on a news person. This is Queen guitarist Brian May.
Okay.
Now, Brian May, look, he's an older gentleman, and you know what? When you get to be his age and you are really rock royalty, yeah, you suffer fools. You know, you really don't suffer them very well. And he flipped out on a news guy who was trying to film him while he was meeting fans in Australia.
Yeah, you gotta stop that, because I ain't doing it.
Please, excuse me. We said no.
Come on, mate.
No, all right, is this gonna get ugly? Because you put it down now, or else something ugly happens. Do you understand?
Come on, mate.
You stop now.
Come on, please.
Wait, please. No, I'm serious. No, I'm deadly serious.
What a parasite you are. Just leave us alone, will you? Do you not understand?
Come on.
All right.
Come on, mate.
Right, you go away now.
Whoa.
Whoa, is he talking to a bear?
Well, that's what you have to do with some of these paparazzi. You have to speak to them like bears, you know, because that's all they understand.
No!
Yeah, that's it.
You f*** off!
Yeah.
That's Brian May
whole time? Brian May talking to the paparazzi.
It really did devolve. I thought people were overreacting, but no, he did flip out.
That's a guy who just is sick of paparazzi following around. And it's not like he can, I guess he can put a hat on, but he's so iconic with that big old poof of white hair.
Really, and I bet it wasn't an issue. Let's be honest. It wasn't an issue before Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, you think it's even more elevated?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Because, I mean, look, you and I know Brian May, but what does the average person care? But ever since that movie, those guys were getting interviewed, and, you know, the Brian May character was a big character, obviously, in the movie. So, yeah, I think it's a big part of it.
Well, it also depends on where they were. They were at in an airport in Brisbane?
Australia, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe like they were just huge there also before the movie.
Either way, it just sucks. It really does. I do love that Brian May is very relevant as he named the Oscar-winning picture Parasite in that whole thing. That's what he called the guy. You are an Oscar-winning picture, sir. Now go away.
I don't know how anyone could be a paparazzi person. Like, you go home at night and you just reflect on your day and you realize you've just upset, like, so many people. Because I can't imagine that that's the only time that they get chewed out by someone.
Plus, you're getting a lot of that hate thrown your way. I mean, even though you're, I mean, everybody hates you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing, is you go home and everyone's called you every bad word in the book. And you've got this, basically, you've got this elderly man who's just like, leave me alone, please. Leave me alone. And it's,
how was your day, hon? I got called a parasite by the guitarist of Queen. That's how my day was.
Oh, you did well, love. Yeah, I'm with you, Steve. I couldn't do that job. I remember being backstage at Emerald City Comic Con and seeing William Shatner bothered by just one guy. And, you know, it's interesting. You see these guys as larger than life celebrities. At that moment, when William Shatner was just being peppered by this person, he looked like a frail old man. It was like, he was just like, can you just leave me alone? And this is like minutes before he has to go on stage in front of all the people at the con. And I was just like, how can you be that person that you don't realize you're just to get your autograph signed? And then you're asking him to do like bits from movies and shows he's been in, like, hey, do this and say this. And like, he's your puppet. And it was just the look on Shatner's face. I never felt so badly for anybody in my life.
You should have punched that guy.
I would like to have, believe me, he deserved a punch. He really did. He was in our business, too.
Yeah.
I was so embarrassed for our industry when I was like, are you kidding me? All right, well, yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
The Black Widow spider has a red mark on its abdomen that resembles a what?
Belly button?
No.
Red mark. A pimple?
No.
A dong?
No.
Oh, man. You know what? Apparently you guys aren't paying attention to Scarlett Johansson's belt buckle in the Avengers. I guess not, you perverts. Because there's an hourglass right on there, just like a Black Widow. And that's who she is in Africa. Call it now for your shot at beating Steve. 206-421-ROCK. Beat Migs at 847.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's a question from a listener. My house is currently in foreclosure. I've stopped making payments. What can I do to save my house?
If you're already in foreclosure behind on your mortgage, you can stop the foreclosure by filing a bankruptcy. There's different types of bankruptcy. Chapter 13 can help you catch up on your house payments if you're behind. It would mean that you'd have to start making your house payments again and catch up on the amount that you're behind over 5 years. You could also take off or strip off your second mortgage, which would help you to reduce your housing payment every month, especially once you're done with the plan and done catching up on your first mortgage. We could also try to buy you some time by filing a Chapter 13 case. Filing a Chapter 13 would definitely stop your foreclosure.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. And thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.